This is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
And we welcome you inside Everbank Field in the Jaguars Radio Network studios. JP Shadrick with John Osier. This is Jaguars.com Live. Glad you're with us today. There's a stranger amongst us today, John.
It's a shifty-looking fella.
I just didn't leave. I stayed.
Mike Dempsey is
something
here.
Going on right now? Are we on?
From 1010XL, the new show, Jaguars Today, from 10 to noon each and every day from this studio. He just didn't want to leave today. Mike, it's good to see
Why
you.
Why would I? I love it. Guys have been very hospitable so far. You haven't said anything
it's only 3 days
bad
in,
about
Mike.
Me in front of me, at least. And
I thought you were going to say nice. Hostile there instead of hospitable.
Just mostly Fortunato, but right. You guys have been pretty nice, so I've appreciated that.
The hashtag Jaguars today
yes,
for your
baby.
Show.
I'm representing today nice right shirt. Here. New shirts. You got yours. So.
Yeah, I did.
And now you're taking care of for Christmas. You're all set.
JP's all about free shirts.
Who isn't?
Who isn't?
I mean, come on.
But talk about the show a little bit. And JP, I interrupted you.
No,
but,
go ahead.
I was on yesterday. The plan is 5 days a week. 2 hours a day, all Jaguars all the time, and some NFL.
From a radio perspective, you guys have obviously been doing this at Jaguars.com forever, but from a radio perspective, there's never been a show completely devoted to the Jags mm-hmm. and the NFL to this extent that we feel that'll have this kind of access. You know, we're down here. You guys have opened up Everbank and your studios to us, which, by the way, are the official Jaguars Today studios. That's what we call them.
Whoa.
But the idea... guys like yourselves coming in, you know, tomorrow David Garrard will co-host with me, Pete Prisco later in the week. We had Ryan O'Halloran and Tony Smith from 1010XL, and just a bevy of the who's who of who covers this team, who cares about this team, the people we think you want to hear from on a daily basis.
I got a show. Why don't you have Dave and Pete on the same show?
That'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Get some ratings on that, right?
Matter of fact, maybe I told Pete Friday, maybe I told him Thursday.
Maybe I did.
That's right.
Mike, every day, 10 to noon, right here from this studio on 1010XL. Great to see you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Looking forward to it.
Mike Dempsey from 1010XL joining us. Hey, let's look at the Jaguars this week. Of course, NFL draft coming up next Thursday. A week from tomorrow is the first round in New York. Off-season program still ongoing with the veterans here at Everbank Field. And we'll be joined a little bit later by Alex Marvez from Fox Sports 1 and Sirius XM Satellite Radio. And speaking of a man who could host a satellite radio show, we welcome in the Jaguars defensive coordinator, Bob Babich. Bob, it's great to see you.
Good to see you guys. Good afternoon.
And thanks for joining us, Bob. This is an exciting offseason for you. I know we'll get to that in a minute. But
and you know, this is that time of year. You've had a lot going on this offseason. Free agent signing, a lot of defensive free agents, a lot of new faces around on your side of the ball, and that's got to be exciting for a defensive coordinator.
Right? Well, I think in general, anytime the guys come back after your break away from them, it's an exciting time, and the guys have been great. We've had a great week and a half so far with them, and, you know, they're really excited, and this is an awful lot of fun as a coach at this time.
What's your role right now, Bob, in terms of the draft? We won't have you talk specific guys, but –
Wait a minute. Well, we will.
Well,
what was that?
Except for Clowney, Mack, and all those guys. Right.
I know nothing. But
how does your day break down? How much are you talking today? How much do they just sort of pop in and say, what do you think of this guy? What do you think of this guy in the draft? How do
well,
you have
input? Well, I think, you know, from the beginning of our off season, when you start with free agents, I mean, our day basically is half a day of football and half a day evaluating talent. And as you get into the college free, the college evaluations, the same thing. You're working on football for half a day, and then you work on your evaluations with the college athletes. But, you know, our guys have done a great job. And, for instance, you know, our DB coach, he'll have 25, say, guys that he looks at, and then I may look at half of those guys because I look at all the position groups.
Is it frustrating? You know, you see a guy like Clowney, but, you know, you see a guy like that. There's got to be guys you see that you know you're only going to get one or two maybe of these guys, and you spend a lot of time with them. Frustrating as a coach to, you know, see that talent?
Well, no, I think that it's, you know, we all understand that that's part of our
right.
profession. And, you know, there's only so many guys to go around. for the NFL. But in general, we really enjoy evaluating the talent that's out there, and it's all part of our job description. It's why we're in it. And, you know, the college coaches, they have the recruiting process. They evaluate, then they got to recruit them. We have one less. We got to evaluate them, don't necessarily have to recruit them. So, you know, it's all something that we've been through as we come up through the profession, and it's a big part of our jobs, and it's something that we really enjoy.
Bob Babich is with us, Jaguars defensive coordinator, Jaguars.com live. On Jaguars.com, you can interact as well. Use the hashtag JagsLive. And I want to ask you about some of the young guys on this defense last year. You know, obviously five defensive backs were drafted last year to go onto this defense. A number of those played last year and started last season. Who made the biggest jump from the first day they stepped in the building as a rookie to the end of last season in your mind?
Well, I think everybody makes a jump because it's, you know, you're just learning how to become a pro and those type things. But I think Jonathan Cyprian, you know, once we hit the open date and we went into the second half of the season, as we evaluated our season, we thought that he really played well, and we're really excited about his future. We think that he's not only taking a step as far as a football player, but I think as a leader in the locker room and maturity level that you need to play at this level, I think all those things, he has grown immensely, and you know, we're excited to get him back.
I have a Twitter question. You're a big Twitter guy, right, Bob?
Oh yeah, I don't even online. Know what it, yeah, I have no idea.
And from Damian Moody Smith, what's the most exciting thing about working with your current unit and working for Coach Bradley?
Well, I think that working for Coach Bradley, let me start there. It's very exciting because this defense that we're using, okay, he knows it inside and out. Mm-hmm. And he's been a great, you know, teacher for me to help me get better at it. And it's been really exciting. He's an extremely talented teacher, okay? He just doesn't give you the information. He understands how to teach it. And, you know, we pass that on to the players. The most exciting thing about the unit to me is we were very pleased last year with our effort. Mm-hmm. We weren't always right schematically, and sometimes we had breakdowns here and there. We may have made a mistake. But our effort was fantastic, and we feel like that's something that you could build on. Now, most people say that the biggest jump that you have is from your first year to your second mm-hmm. year, so we expect schematically to get better, and the guys understand it. And if we continue with that effort, we think that'll be a big plus.
That holds true schematically as well. They say that about players, but it holds true with the scheme as well.
Yes, you know, the scheme, you're always going to get better mm-hmm. when you're in it from the first year to the second year.
There's a live blog right now under your screen on Jaguars.com. Question from
you
Cliff.
You guys are good. You guys are
good. Got it all going all over the place.
You got all kind of things going
Cliff
on.
Cliff has a question from that about Andre Branch.
Yes.
With all the new faces at end and maybe more coming, who knows, where does Andre Branch fit
in
this year?
He fits in good. And you guys can correct me. I don't know the numbers exactly, but I believe the second half of the season he had six sacks the last eight games. You know, I believe. You know, so his progress throughout the year, you know, he just started his progress. Like I said, the biggest step is from the first year to the second mm-hmm. year. Andres was from the first half of the season to the second half of the season. And we really enjoy him. We think he has an outstanding personality. His effort was fantastic. And he showed some playmaking ability, and that's all you can ask for.
How important was it for you, Bob? And Gus talked a little bit about it after free agency, to find a way to get some guys who could reduce the number of snaps guys like Senderic and Tyson were playing, and to get that snap number for the season down to where you want it, where you can have quality guys playing maybe fewer snaps than the main guys played last year.
I think in general, yeah, you want to do that, and that was a big emphasis, and, you mm-hmm. know, getting Ziggy Hood in the middle there and Red Bryant, you know, at end and some things like that. I think it's going to eliminate some of the snaps that the guys mm-hmm. you talked about have to take now. And what that does, that just keeps you fresh throughout the season, and it allows you to perform at a higher level anytime your body's feeling good. I'm sure you guys know that. You look like you're in prime shape, and you understand how it is to perform.
Thank
when
you,
you're
Bob.
Nice to know
you, Bob.
I appreciate that.
That's just a joke for those
that's
of you that are
joke.
Listening.
Well, how's that a joke?
Joke. One more sort of along those lines. You bring in a guy like Clements and Hood. How much is it a case of when you bring those guys in, they fit into what you're doing? Or do you look at their talent and say, okay, here's where we can use guys, here's where we can do some things with them, or is it a combination?
I believe it's a combination. I mean, that's what we would like it to be. I mean, anytime a guy is really talented and you get him, you may have to adjust your scheme, but we would like the combination of they're guys that are talented and mm-hmm. fit into the scheme that we're using, and, you know, that makes it an easy piece of the puzzle to fit in there.
Bob, it's, you know, we mentioned a little bit you working with Gus. You were talking about that a little earlier, but are you past the fact that you were once his boss?
No, I don't talk about that at all. And, you know, I don't know if that's ever happened, to be honest with you. But he's just such a – I mean, the guy is so genuine and, you know, and he's such a good football coach. And if you love football, I mean, he's just so much fun to be around. So, you know, it's just and our coaching staff that we have on the defensive side, we get along. We mesh mm-hmm. so well. We've come from different backgrounds, but we all have one common goal. And, you know, it's been really neat.
You mentioned one thing, and it was something JP alluded to. When you talked earlier about Gus, everybody knows about his passion. Everybody knows about how he can speak to a crowd and motivate. But you also mentioned the teaching aspect. Guy's obviously a pretty good coach to go along with the things that people maybe publicly see about him. Talk about him as a teacher and just his ability in that role.
His football knowledge is outstanding. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy is a football coach through and through. And to be a football coach, it doesn't mean that you just understand football. You got to be able to communicate it to the players to where they take it out on the field and perform at the level you need them to perform. And he is able to do that. And it's been a great learning process for me. You know, as a coach, you're always saying you want to get better and you always want to learn. And, you know, to be with him this past season was really good for me, and it's really helped my growth as a coach.
And the elephant in the room is that he learned it all from Bob Beck.
Yeah, I mean, just say it.
I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that, guys. You're not going to get me to say that. No, he really is. And, you know, and I worked with Todd Wash also, right. And, you know, so, and Scotty Hazleton, who's on our staff now. So, you know, and there's a lot of other, you know, Dwayne Walker, Mike Rubenberg, and all those guys. It's just really a fun staff.
Last couple of questions here for Bob Babich, defensive coordinator, joining us on Jaguars.com Live. And it's about linebackers. One of the free agent pickups was Dakota Watson. And last year, Geno Hayes kind of stepped up, played through some things, and played well on the outside when he was on the field. Poslesny's the rock in the middle. Is that kind of how you envision this going forward with those kind of three there? And tell us about the pickup of Watson and what he can bring.
Well, Watson is Dakota is a very gifted athlete. He not only he could pass rush, he's strength. He has strength to set the edge. He could play behind the ball. He could play on the ball. He actually has put his hand down in pass rush. So he gives us a lot of flexibility at the position. You know, but there's guys like Leroy Reynolds, who was just a rookie last year, who, you know, showed some skill. And JT Thomas, you know, played in some games and, you know, was productive. And those guys have a lot of growth, you know, so you don't know where they're going to end up. So that position, we think, has gotten a lot better, you know, whether it's through just being another year in the NFL mm-hmm. or bringing somebody in. So we feel like the linebacker core has gotten better. And they got two new coaches. You know,
right,
so
yeah.
It's all there's a combination of a lot of different things going on in that room, and I think it's going to be fun.
Be something to watch this year moving
that's
forward,
right.
For sure.
That's for sure.
Bob, we appreciate your time today. It's always great to visit with you.
Well, thank you very much. I
Even though
my
you make
time
fun
with
of our,
you guys.
Our
no,
form,
you guys
I mean,
look
fine.
Good. Oh. I see you working out all the time.
All the time.
I could tell.
Just say that again. Go ahead.
No. I think that was enough.
You must have us confused. Okay. Some of the people.
Bob,
thank
right.
you.
You bet.
Great.
Thank
you.
Defensive coordinator for the Jags joining us on Jaguars.com Live. Let's talk tickets. Yes, the Jags have announced the Jags 365 program, providing a greater level of service and new experiences for season ticket members, unprecedented access to Everbank Field, coaches and players, and exclusive events and packages tailored to your personal preferences. New seating options for 2014 have been announced. Visit Jaguars.com and click tickets. A great home schedule, of course. The Steelers, the Giants, the Dolphins, the Browns, the Colts, the Texans, the Titans are all at Everbank Field this year. That Dallas Cowboy game, of course, at Wembley Stadium in London. At Jaguars, at JP Shadrick, at John Osier. This is Jaguars.com Live. Glad you're with us today. Bob Babich has no personality whatsoever, right?
Huh.
Yeah, right.
I think we got to talk to him a little bit. Yeah,
that's great.
He's coming on here. He's taking shots.
He is.
Yeah, well,
I mean, low blows.
I guess that's okay.
That's all right, Coach. Interesting thoughts from him, though. Mm-hmm. With all the new faces in free agency, most of those were on defense and in key spots on that defense.
Browns.
Well, and again, we've talked about it in this show before, I believe. It was so important to them to get some more numbers, some more guys they could count on to go in, especially up front. They didn't like that Cedric Marks had to play. It was in the middle of the 900 somewhere. Tyson was on the field a lot. Jason Babin was on the field a lot. Probably a couple hundred snaps too many, ideally, for those guys. And he mentioned that was one reason why, after that first little rush of free agency, they went after Ziggy Hood really hard, because they needed another guy who they knew they could turn to and say, okay, you're in here, you're taking these plays, these guys are taking these plays. By the end of the season last year, in those last three games of the season, remember, they had that rush where the defense played really well for four or five games. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the season, they felt like they didn't quite finish as well as they would have liked, and a lot of that was because their key guys, the guys they were really dependent on, the guys they knew they could count on every play in, play out, had been on the field two or three games more, if you count the total plays, than maybe they wanted it to be. So that was a big deal, and I know, Bob, everybody on defense is excited about that.
Jaguars.com Live. Alex Marvez coming up on the phone shortly, the reporter for Fox Sports 1 and host shows on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. We'll hear from him coming up shortly once we get him connected on the phone line. A couple questions from social media, John, from Hunter Crane 15 on Twitter. If Jadeveon Clowney and Khalil Mack aren't there at three, who would we most likely take? Johnny, which is the first names, Johnny, Sammy, or an offensive tackle?
I've been saying for a long time Sammy Watkins or Khalil Mack. So in that scenario, Sammy Watkins just makes sense. You've got a team that needs to make plays, needs to find somebody that not only can make plays, but can draw defenses toward him to allow others to make plays. And in order to do that, you've got to be a guy that defenses have to account for. Right now, probably not as many of those guys on offense as you would like. Sammy Watkins would give you that, defense tilter, if you will. So in that scenario, Sammy Watkins makes the most sense, simply because he's the guy that stands out in that group as can make plays above the X's and O's.
Somebody said this a while back, and I don't even know who to attribute it to, but somebody's got to score touchdowns.
Just tell people you said it. That's what I did.
Well, I just said it now. Somebody's got to score touchdowns.
Yeah, and that, when you look at the offensive tackle scenario, from a GM's point of view, from a roster builder point of view, offensive tackle makes sense, because you know that spot is going to do you well for a long time. So from a purely football point of view, it does make sense to have two highly drafted left tackles, one to play right tackle, which is what it would be if Jake Matthews or Greg Robinson was the guy. Yeah. But at some point, it's not just about fan excitement. It's not about putting people in the seats. It's about being able to move the ball, being able to make plays on third down, being able to score touchdowns, as you say. And right now, they don't have enough of those guys on offense. They know that's needed. And when Dave Caldwell talked in the offseason a lot about how to build this roster, why you brought Henny back, it was about putting guys in front of Henny to protect him. It was about giving them a few playmakers. And they've done that offensively on the offensive line with Zane Beatles. You would think they'd go one more draft pick somewhere on the interior. But in free agency, it's hard to get big-time playmakers in free agency. You usually have to draft those guys, and that's why Watkins makes sense. If you don't go Watkins, then you're probably going a couple wide receivers, second through fifth, just because you need to stock that position.
J.P. Shadrick with John Osier, Jaguars.com Live. Out to Alex Marvez. He should be on with us a little bit later today. Hey, another question from social media, Johnny. This is about running backs. Of course, Gerhardt's around. Mm-hmm. We've seen Jordan Todman walking around the last couple days. He's here. There's some options there. Denard Robinson will get some reps there. But at Matte Gold asking, what round do you see the Jags taking a running back in this year?
Yeah, I don't see it in the first three, although I could be surprised. I would see it maybe fourth or fifth round, because you can get a guy to run the ball. If you're looking for somebody else to be in the backfield running the ball, if you feel like you need that to happen this year and you need one more guy in that mix, you can get somebody to run in the fourth or fifth round. In Gerhardt, they've got an experienced guy who can function in a lot of different areas of the offense. So he can take care of pass blocking in certain situations. He can do a lot of the running back things that go beyond running. So I wouldn't expect it in the first three rounds. Or you probably wouldn't have signed Gerhardt.
Right. Well, what would be the point of signing Gerhardt?
A young guy at that position can come in. If you thought you were drafting a guy who needed to play right away, you probably wouldn't have signed Gerhardt.
JP Shattuck with John Osier. We're 8 days away from the draft, John.
Really? Guys, seems like, you know, I'd be here right now.
I mean, yeah, it should have been here a week ago.
It should have been here a week ago. And really? It really has, from a person covering it and doing the pre-draft, your body clock gets used to it being in late April. You write your stories, you go on shows, you talk about it like this. It does feel like it's time for it to be here. It'll be here soon enough. You never wish your life away, but it wouldn't be bad to have it tomorrow night.
You've been doing a round of mock drafts on Jaguars.com. Well, you had the reader mock, which is a totally different one altogether. You've had the mock draft tracker from everybody else.
Track, mock, whatever.
And I'm getting confused because right. Now you have your own mock drafts. You've done three different ones, right?
On the idea behind the Jaguars.com mock draft is more to throw out scenarios as they could occur. So the first time I believe we mocked Clowney to the Texans first. Regardless, we've had different scenarios, and in the scenarios we've had Clowney fall into the Jags, we've had the Jaguars taking Khalil Mack, and we've had the Jaguars taking Sammy Watkins. And it's really a way to sort of show different scenarios that could play out in the top 2, 3, 4, 5. And the ironic thing is you could do three scenarios and you still got seven more that could happen, because this is like one of the most unpredictable top fives outside of Clowney. It's really hard to tell who's going to be in that mix. So it's going to be a fascinating night to watch next week.
And in terms of the first couple of rounds, you know, a lot of folks, and we're out to Alex Marvez. We're in the process of getting him on the line right now on Jaguars.com Live. You know, there's three picks in the first 2 days for the Jaguars. Mm-hmm. First-round pick and then the second and third-round pick. At some point in there, if it's not Sammy Watkins or whoever at number three, you feel there's a wide receiver somewhere in the top three, and the talk is a quarterback somewhere in the top three, if not the third overall pick. But where do rumors like that come from? Because across the hall, they're not really saying much about that. Right?
It's you match need, you match guys up there, you start looking at mock drafts, and then all of a sudden, after a while, there becomes this quote-unquote consensus. And the reason the draft is so entertaining is most years when you start watching that thing, by the time you get to pick four, they're flashing that draft up there, and it doesn't look anything like what anybody thought it was going to. So that's one of the most fascinating things. We can talk to Alex about this in a minute, is how a lot of years you're sitting there, and everybody thinks that they assume this is what's going to happen and this is how it's going to play out, and then when it doesn't, they rip teams for not doing what they were assuming those teams were going to do.
Right.
So it's really one of the weird, it's maybe the weirdest time to cover in this league, and I'm sure Alex feels the same way. He was a beat guy for a long time, so he knows how I feel.
We'll get to Alex in a moment. Of course, speaking of draft, May 8th, where will you be when the Jags make their 2014 selection? Join the Jags for the 20th annual Bud Light Draft Party, presented by PRI Productions, Thursday, May 8th, 6 to 10 here at Everbank Field. Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley will speak to the crowd right after the pick. Interactive games, much more. Admission is free, but you have to register for a ticket at jaguars.com. Present that ticket for entrance. So go to jaguars.com/draft party. This is Jaguars.com Live. Let's go to the phone line and welcome in reporter for Fox Sports 1 and Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Our good friend Alex Marvez is with us. Hi, Alex. How are you?
JP Osh, I'm doing great, and by the way, let me warn you about draft parties. We can go back to the 2007 draft, and we talk about expected picks, and John, I'm glad you teed me up, because I'm going to hit this one out of the fairway. Here's what happened. The Miami Dolphins, sitting at number 9 in desperate need of a franchise quarterback. The team picks at 8, Brady Quinn still on the board. I'm at a draft party, couple thousand Dolphins fans inside the bubble, and the name comes across. The Miami Dolphins select Ted Ginn Jr. I really thought that the bubble was going to be punctured, that the thing was going to collapse, there were going to be pitchforks, we were going to have a hanging, everything going on, it was nuts. Poor Cam Cameron agrees to come out for a draft party. Randy Mueller was supposed to come out, he didn't come out. The fans booed Cam Cameron, made it even worse when he said, we did not just draft Ted Ginn Jr., we drafted Ted Ginn Jr. and his family, and proceeded to talk about what a great young man he was. Not a great football player for the Miami Dolphins. So, Gus Bradley, be careful. Wear a suit of armor. You know what I'm saying? Have armed guards. I mean, do whatever you need to do. Hopefully Jags fans will be happy with the pick, though. We won't have to worry about it.
But, Alex, again, like we just said, it's all of that reaction that the fans felt that day was based on what guys like you and me say on radio shows. You know what I mean? It's all sort of based on this speculation that may be real or not. I mean, it's one of the weirdest things to cover that I cover in journalism.
Well, right. Like, for example, Teddy Bridgewater, I think he's this year's Geno Smith. I think he's a guy that was built up to a point that everyone thought he'd be the number one overall pick. Now he's a top 10 pick. Now if he slides out of the top 10, oh, well, then Teddy Bridgewater's stock has fallen.
Right.
Who created that stock to begin with?
You did, Alex.
It was all my fault. It is true.
Well,
it is true. No, and I'll have to deal with Teddy because his family lives in South Florida, and I have hired armed guards, and I am wearing a suit of armor as I say this to protect me from Teddy Bridgewater if he slides out of the top 10. But that's what happens. You know, you get into that, and then you start mimicking lines. You start repeating things that you hear. And I was talking to a GM about this the other day, and I told him, I can't give you something that isn't going to be passed out a daisy chain where people have added their own twist to it. You get information out there that isn't necessarily accurate. I mean, thank goodness some of the rumors have slowed down this week because I think we're all suffering a little bit from draft fatigue. We're used to the draft having taken place by now. Instead, we still have 8 days to go.
Did you ever, Alex, in all your years doing mock drafts, if you ever went back and looked at them, did you ever hit over 25%?
Nah. No, I think once I had seven of 32. Actually, no, it was 7 of 29 or 30. I think it was before, or 31, before the expansion happened with the Texans. That was it. And it's just so difficult to project because, like, just what you said, John, we as media and even as fans who do mock drafts, we're projecting need with the team. Did the Miami Dolphins need an outside linebacker last year? No. Did they need to trade up 9 spots to get this guy? No. But Deion Jordan is a member of the Miami Dolphins because Jeff Ireland thought that was the move to make for his team. We do that. We project, well, okay, a team has this glaring need, so they need to draft that player. Well, that's how you get into trouble, and I can just relate another South Florida anecdote, another Miami Dolphins anecdote. Back in 2003, they're sitting there about pick 59. There's a linebacker named Eddie Moore on the board from Tennessee. The Dolphins are panicked that the linebacker depth is bad during the draft. So they pass on this Anquan Boldin kid and decide to go with Eddie Moore. Anquan Boldin is still destroying teams today. Eddie Moore was a complete bust, injured, couldn't play even when he was healthy, out of the league pretty darn quickly. So that'll show you how you get into trouble sometimes when you draft. You know, if you're drafting just for need, some teams are smart enough to avoid doing that, and I think your Jags are smart enough to avoid doing that as well.
Alex Marvez is with us, Fox Sports and Sirius XM Satellite Radio. This is Jaguars.com live. Since we're talking about, you know, mock drafts and speculation, well, how do you see it? Alex, 1, 2, 3. What happens on draft night on next Thursday?
Well, I think we're waiting for that trade. I think we're looking to see what the Houston Texans do. Will the Atlanta Falcons make that leap from 1 to 6 to grab a pass rusher or from 6 to 2 to grab a pass rusher? And that's where things get curious. And, you know, can the Houston Texans afford to move down beyond 1? And if they still love Khalil Mack, like has been rumored, how far down could they go before they risk losing Khalil Mack? And that's where you have an interesting cloak of secrecy with the Jacksonville Jaguars, an interesting cloak of secrecy with the Cleveland Browns, because if Jacksonville took a pass rusher, I couldn't knock them. I mean, look at the foundation of the Seattle Seahawks where Gus Bradley came from. It was built on a great pass rush, and you need those guys. And, you know, Chris Clements is I believe, on the other side of 30 or pretty darn close and has suffered a major knee injury. Jason Babin, I believe, is 33 years old. I mean, these guys aren't going to play forever. You'd love to have a young pass rusher that you can groom and they can learn from these guys. So I have no problem with that. So that's something you have to consider at number 3 for the Jaguars. I mean, that's why it's so difficult. I can just tell you this, that the Rams at number 2 are sitting in this great position. I don't think they're in the market for a pass rusher because you have such good defensive ends and you have Alec Ogletree, who's an emerging player. So they are the team that so many people want to trade with to be able to get up to 2. So if you don't get Jadeveon Clowney, maybe you can get Khalil Mack. But I think that's what you're looking at there, a Clowney Mack type situation at 1-2, and if the Rams can't trade out, a potential offensive lineman would make sense there for them. But again, we're doing a lot of projecting here. We're saying, okay, the Rams need a right tackle, and Jake Long's coming off a torn ACL and has been injured throughout his career, but maybe the Rams figure, you know what, we can get a tackle at 13 since we have that other pick, and we'll go ahead and maybe take the best position player on the board. Maybe Sammy Watkins would be their guy there, just to add even more to that wide receiving core. I don't see it. I think it's going to be an O-lineman, but that's why I just am having a hard time getting my finger on the pulse of this draft. I just don't think the Jacksonville Jaguars are in the quarterback market at number 3. I really believe that this will end up being a second-round pick or a trade-up back into the first round to acquire a quarterback. I think these guys may slide some.
He dropped cloak of secrecy twice back-to-back.
Yeah.
Back.
Wow.
And, Alex, you don't get a chance to do that or hear that very often, so thank you.
No problem. But, I appreciate that.
You mentioned the quarterback.
The move aside, veil instead for the cloak. You know, that's how it is.
You mentioned quarterbacks, and people in this market, and people everywhere, I think, have such a tough time believing what you said in that all three of those guys could potentially slide. And that's just so hard for people to believe because they heard all fall Teddy Bridgewater and they saw Manziel on TV. But you talk to more national people than we do. How real is that possibility that those guys slip further than people think they might?
I think it's very real. I mean, the thing is this. You have to be in love with the quarterback when you draft him. Don't set your program back by drafting a quarterback just for the sake of drafting a quarterback. I mean, I think we saw that a little bit with the Jags and Blaine Gabbert, right? I mean, the need to develop a quarterback was so desperate, at least that's how the former general manager, Gene Smith, felt, that you draft Blaine Gabbert, and look how it set this franchise back. When you think about it, you waste years because you not only lost a couple years of players being in their prime trying to develop Blaine Gabbert, but now he's gone and you're still left with a hole at the quarterback position. Look at the Minnesota Vikings with Christian Ponder. They reached for Christian Ponder at 12 because they thought, oh, we don't have a chance to get another quarterback. We better get this guy. He really set them back. You lost the best years of Adrian Peterson's career trying to develop this guy. Jared Allen, Kevin Williams have now come and gone. I mean, you wasted a year of Greg Jennings after he comes over from free agency. So I think that's the danger that you have to get. So unless a team really loves a quarterback early in this draft, I would rather you take your chances in the second round of that draft, continue to try to develop a player. And remember, some of these teams do have quarterbacks in place. Look, I know Chad Henne's not the sexiest guy. I know Matt Castle's not the sexiest guy. But you know what? They're guys who are competent. If you take a quarterback in the second round that you think can develop, a la and Andy Dalton, but you make yourself better by taking one of the top position players of a side quarterback on the board, man, it's just hard to argue with that philosophy. That's how I feel about it. You just don't want to overdraft at the position and get yourself caught doing that because you feel you have that need at quarterback.
Is that becoming more acceptable because the 49ers and the Seahawks, that approach you just mentioned?
Well, I think that helps. I think the Bengals also have to go into that mix. I think the New Orleans Saints, even though they signed Drew Brees in free agency, you know, San Diego drafted him in the second round. I mean, you could find these players. I mean, it just depends what you like. I mean, that's the other thing, too. I mean, maybe if you love a Jimmy Garoppolo, but you realize, well, I don't want to take him here, but I think this guy could be a pretty darn good quarterback for us, we can get him in the second round. So you stick to your conviction and you do it. You don't panic. I mean, that's the thing about it. I mean, look, and I understand the philosophy of, hey, if you have the chance to get the guy, you have to jump on this guy. I mean, if you're in love with Blake Bortles, then draft Blake Bortles. I mean, okay, I mean, that's what I get, but you just got to make sure you get it right. And that's the key thing to this quarterback thing because, again, it sets a franchise back when you screw it up. That's the whole thing. When you overdraft, when you think that, you know, when you think, oh, well, this guy, you've convinced yourself that you have to draft a quarterback, that's the problem. So it's a really fine line. I mean, I'm not saying I have all the answers here to it, but I'm just answering why I think some of these quarterbacks may fall.
Wait, you don't have all the answers, Alex? That's why we had you on the show, man.
Next guest.
Next. Alex, what's your next show coming out? I know you're on the air like every single day of the month. Right?
Yeah, it continues tonight. Actually, we're going to take a look at the 1994 NFL Draft on SiriusXM NFL Radio. And we've had a lot of fun with these because we have the godfather, Gil Brandt, who has done so many great things. And we're going to look back at this draft. You know, it's in conjunction with that NFL Network series, Caught in the Draft. Yep. And I've already gotten a sneak peek at the show tonight. And it's a really interesting show. And you're going to learn a lot about how some back behind the scenes scenes for the 1994 draft, but we're going to talk about how the draft chart was invented that the Dallas Cowboys used. We're going to talk about some of those players in that draft. Isaac Bruce will be joining us at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, a member of that 1994 draft. And take a look at that, take some calls, and talk NFL draft, because that's the one thing we can't get enough of, guys, talking about the NFL draft.
That's the last draft I didn't cover, Alex. When was your first draft? I forget. 96,
because I just started covering the Bengals after the, as Butch Hobson would say, the Kajana Kata draft of 1995. So 1996 was my year when Big Willie Anderson came on board with the Cincinnati Bengals. And also they got Corey Dillon that year as well. Not a bad haul for the Bengals that year.
We're turning into two old men, Alex, right before our eyes, you and me.
Oh, I know this. I know
speak
this.
For yourselves,
he's going to be driving us around. It'll be like that driving series you guys do on the internet. It'll be driving Osher and Marvez around for a blue plate.
We'll be in the back.
I'm ready.
Yeah, early bird special. Hey, Alex, we always appreciate your time and your insight. Thanks for your time today.
Excellent, guys.
Thanks, Alex.
Alex Marvez joining us from Fox Sports 1 and Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Hey, draft coverage coming up. Speaking of the draft, we'll have coverage right here on Jaguars.com. May 8th, 9th, and 10th will be live after every pick with instant analysis and reaction. Much more scheduled as well. Stay tuned for more details. Your place for Jaguars draft coverage right here on Jaguars.com. Also, tomorrow night on 1010XL here in Jacksonville, Jaguars Thursday. Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli. That's Over the Air on 1010XL, the flagship station for Jaguars football tomorrow night. John, great show.
Fun show.
It really was.
Having Alex on is always good. Good show. How about that? That's all I got.
Well done for the senior writer. John, great stuff as always. Our thanks to everyone involved in the production of today's broadcast. Thanks to you for watching as well. For John Osier, for Alex Marvez, for Bob Babbitt, for Mike Dempsey, who joined us for a couple of minutes. This is JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching Jaguars.com Live.